commit our time, please, to the Lord. Word of opening prayer, eternal God and our Father. We thank thee, Lord, this evening for the privilege to come into thy presence. We ask, O God, that you'll help us to sing thy praise. We ask, O God, that through everything that we take place tonight, may our Savior be glorified. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Hymn number 339 is our opening hymn this evening, 339. Words will be on the screen, page 313, if you're following in the hymn book. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. 339, we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand and sing. Let's seek the Lord, please, in prayer. We ask for his help and his presence with us. Just now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for that wonderful, wonderful day. We thank thee, Lord, for that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ, there on the cross of Calvary, gave his life and shed his blood, offered himself one sacrifice for sin forever. And Lord, we thank thee that because of that day, Lord, for each one in this meeting tonight that's saved, Lord, that we can look back to a point in our life, a day in our life when we trusted thee, we turned away from our sin, we came by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for that wonderful day when our sins were washed away, when our night was turned to day. O God, we thank thee tonight that the Lord makes a change in a life, And Heavenly Father, we pray that even, Lord, for any who may be gathered in this place tonight, still out of Christ, Lord, in the darkness, in the bondage of their sin, we pray, Lord, that this will be the day when they will turn from their sin and they will receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we pray tonight for needed grace. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to speak. Lord, speak into hard hearts, we pray. We ask, O God, you'll speak into rebellious hearts. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight there will be a hearing of the word, Lord, as it's brought. O God, we thank thee this evening that through a life that is changed, the Holy Spirit, Lord, can take that word and, Lord, use it to the salvation of others. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to be one of our number tonight, less in every part of this meeting. We ask, O God, that you'd be pleased us to draw near to us in a very particular way. O God, we pray that you'll pour your Spirit out upon us tonight, we ask. Lord, bless the fellows as they minister to us in song. We thank thee for them. We thank the Lord for their encouragement. We thank the Lord for the talents and the abilities, Lord, you've given to them and how they're seeking to use those in the furtherance of the gospel. Bless them tonight, we pray. May they know great help. May they feel entirely at home amongst us here tonight, we pray. And Lord, just be with them and give them help. Remember our brother William, especially, Lord, as he would come testify and tell of what the Lord has done in his life. We thank thee, O God, for that moment when you reached down and, Lord, you changed his life. O God, we pray that you'd be pleased to bless him tonight. Lord, take away the fear of man. And Lord, give him great help and liberty. Lord, as he would tell of the great things that the Savior has done in his life. Lord, we just look to thee. Remember this area for good, we pray. Remember Ballyhackamore. We ask, O God, for this community. We just cry unto thee tonight for a move of God, the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to come and move in this place. Lord, move across this community. Lord, to move across this neighborhood, we pray. Lord, take men and women away from the things of this world. Lord, away from those things, Lord, that bring no satisfaction. And Heavenly Father, bring them to thyself, O God, we pray. Lord, that even this night, Lord, as they hear of what the Lord is doing in this place, O God, we pray that hearts will be softened, Lord, that there will be that word in season, Lord, that many will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, tonight that you're still in the soul-saving business. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from every stain of sin. And so we pray tonight, be pleased to apply the blood and save the lost, we ask. Lord, encourage us tonight, we pray. And Lord, remember those who cannot be with us tonight. Remember those who are unwell in homes and hospital tonight, we pray. Just draw near to each and to all. And may thy presence rest and remain upon us all. Throughout this meeting, we pray in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to welcome back to Sandown tonight, Solid Ground. And we always are blessed by their ministry and want to thank them for being with us tonight. Andrew and Stephen and Carl, you're welcome, and ask you to come and sing for us just now. The Lord bless you. us. Thank you very much indeed for your ministry and song tonight. We've been blessed by it. And may we all seek to strive as we seek to serve the Lord, that we'll hear that well done of the Saviour. And we pray the Lord will bless those messages and song. Also glad to have Leah, Andrew's daughter, with us as well. You're very welcome tonight as well. Can I welcome you all along to our family service tonight? We're glad to see you and welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. To those who are visiting with us, we trust that you feel at home amongst us tonight. We pray that the Lord will bless you. Thank you for coming and for being with us tonight. We're also delighted to have our brother William Heron, and we'll hear from William in just a little moment's time. But William, you're very welcome tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you, and thank you for coming and being a part of our family service tonight. Just some announcements, please, at this stage. There is supper for everyone tonight, so we want you to stay behind. We want to thank the ladies for preparing the supper, and there'll be more than enough for you, so please don't be rushing away. Have that time of fellowship afterwards in the room upstairs. So if you can stay, you'll be more than welcome to do so. Do remember, Tuesday night is our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, and God willing, I'll be here to preach at that meeting. Then next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 6:30. Remember, the Sunday school Bible class are off now for the summer months, but the two services continue with the seasons of prayer beforehand as well. Do remember those seasons of prayer, please. Speaker next Sunday, both of the meetings will be the Reverend David Crane, and our sister Judith Beattie will be along to sing. Do remember our good friend Joshua Dillon, who's still in hospital, although making improvement. We're glad to be able to say, but do remember Joshua in your prayers, please, that he'll make a full recovery and very soon be able to be back home again. As we said, and as you'll probably know by this stage, on Thursday we leave for Uganda for 2 weeks, taking a group of young people out there on a mission team. So please do remember us in your prayers. And while we are away, if there are any pastoral emergencies, please do contact one of the elders. Now, I should have done this morning, but I didn't, so I'm going to do it tonight. You will know that you gave very generously to provide some things for the young people who are going. And so Stephen was busy over this past few weeks, and so I'm going to show you what we have given to all of the young people to take with them on the trip. So first of all, there's a hoodie. This is like a catwalk. Does anybody want to come and model it? Would this fit you, Andrew? So we've got a hoodie for everybody. Everybody got their initials, and then the mission board logo, and then Uganda team 2023. And on the back then, the map of Uganda. In the center of that map, the words that we've taken as our theme for the Holiday Bible Club, but the Lord is faithful. And so we're looking at the story of Joseph. So everybody's got a hoodie so far. Everybody has also got a t-shirt when we're doing the sports and the games. Again, same idea, got their name, logo, and then the verse of scripture on the back. And then also a polo shirt as well. Same idea again, and the map and the verse on the back. So that is what your money has gone to purchase, but there will be other things as well that we will be able to take out with us for the children as well, and we're going to get as much packed into the case that we're allowed as much as possible. So thank you on behalf of the young people. And I know they really did appreciate whenever we gave those to them on Thursday night. They really appreciated that. So thank you for giving so generously to help the young people. So do remember us, please, as we leave on Thursday. There are still a few copies of this book by the Reverend Stanley Barnes based on the 23rd Psalm. I can't remember the price, and Kyle can't remember it either. But anyway, you take one with you, and you can pay Kyle at another stage. It'll not be too dear anyway. And all the proceeds, if I am right in thinking, go to the Deborah Home. Yes, they go to the Deborah Home. Seven. Yes, okay. £7. There. Oh, wait, there were £6.95, but we'll do them for £7. So all the proceeds go to the girls in the Deborah Home in Romania, and to give them a holiday and to give them a break. So there are a few copies left there, and if you would like one, take one with you, and you can pay Kyle at another stage. Let's sing another hymn, please, at this time. 370, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. 370, and we'll stand after we get the introduction, please. Let's stand and sing. Also welcome those who are watching online as well tonight. Thank you for being with us. Glad to see Linda back again, and No more fractures, no more breaks, please, folks. The Sandown Fracture Clinic is pretty busy, but we're glad to see you back. Pray the Lord to continue to be with you and heal you. We're glad to have the fellows. Thank you for being with us tonight. Really do thank you. They're busy, kept busy. This is their last booking before getting a few Sundays off for summer. So we're glad that you were able to come tonight. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us again. Thank you.
Whatever Garth said there about going to Uganda, I basically thought of somebody, Dick and Andrew. Andrew and I were probably out with you guys were going to about 6 years or so ago. We were there with a team of four, I think, at the time. Andrew's son, Jordan, was with us as well. If you have a look at the really good lighting system that's out there, linked to all the solar panels, that was our handiwork. The good bits are mine and the rocky bits are his. So I think it's about 6 years ago we were out. We spent about 10 days with the folks out there pulling in wires in that heat and getting them lights down into all the different classrooms and the various bits and pieces. So we were delighted to hear that it could go by good. This next week piece is just a testimony piece. Really, hopefully it will fit in with our brother's testimony of our life. Made up my mind, no doubt, he made up his mind to trust just as we did. And before we sing it, I've got to apologise for
Thank you very much for being with us tonight and your help in the meeting. Certainly blessed as always by it. May the Lord continue to bless you and give you a good break over the summer months from singing. Thank you for your help tonight. We're delighted, as we've said tonight, to welcome to Sandown our brother William Heron from our Hillsborough congregation. We welcome him warmly tonight in every sense of the word. William, you're very, very welcome tonight. Thank you for being here and being a part of our meeting. Pray the Lord will bless you. I'm going to ask you to come now and tell of all that the Lord has done for you. The Lord bless you, William.
It's lovely to be here, folks, and it's lovely to have warm words of welcome. I'm not going to lie to you, the devil's been at me already. I'm starting to sweat there because I've only done this a handful of times, but the devil's not going to have any glory here tonight. I can assure you of that. So my name's William Heron. I grew up just outside of Lisburn. I was born on the 20th of the 11th, 1991. I have two sisters, Imogene and Anna. I went to primary school in Fullerton House and went to high school in Dromore. I'm a member of Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. That's where I went to Sunday school, and I loved my teachers, and I loved hearing all the amazing stories about Jesus and the singing, and especially the devil as the sly old fox. That was my favourite. I belted it out. I suppose early memories of faith would be in my grandparents' home. My grand is the clerk of session in Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, David Williamson. So from an early age, whenever I was at their house then, that I knew they were different. I knew it was a very godly home. I knew that it was just different. And every night you would get showered. I used to stay at my nanny's house all the time. And you would have been put into bed and you would have prayed. And she always would have prayed with you. And I can remember at 6 years old, Nanny was telling me when we were praying about the need to be saved. And that night when she'd went, I thought I was going to get saved. So I asked the Lord to save me. And I literally thought asking Jesus into your heart, you had to sit with your mouth open to let him come down in. So that was from an early age. I was saved and I loved it. And I really enjoyed Sunday school and going to church with my family. So going forward into the teenage years, I started Dromore High, started to play rugby. And I did a lot of go-kart racing in England in the British Championship. And I suppose from there, the racing was mostly on Sundays over in England. So I suppose to an extent, racing became my idol. That was my passion. And church got left aside at least 2 weeks in every month when we were away in England. And I suppose on through school then, into fifth year, the house parties started. And you were invited to house parties. And maybe parents were away. And you were introduced to alcohol then. Maybe there was a big brother or sister had bought it for a younger sibling. And that's really where it started. And then on from there, fifth year, sixth year, you were going to Banbridge, to all the places like the coach, the nightclubs, things like that, lads' holidays. And I'm not going to lie, I was having fun and I was enjoying it. But my faith wasn't really nowhere at that stage. I started to work at Ashfield, and the money was coming in. And for a young person, I suppose you've got money coming in and you're enjoying yourself. The things of the world have so much to offer, as you think. So that's what I did. I was young and I got away from the Lord and I was in a backslidden state. I did go to church the odd time just to keep my family happy, just to keep them off my back. And it was awful. You used to sit in church and used to think everybody was looking at the back of your head, which they probably were, but that was just the devil putting these things in your head. So in 2012, I had stopped racing carts and cars, and I had moved to motorbikes. It was my dad's first love, and I always thought I would give it a go. So I bought Alistair Seeley's 600 Suzuki and got my test, and we were down at Bishop's Court. And in my first race, I had a major crash where I went a high-sided, went out over the handlebars and landed just over vertical. So I was rushed to hospital. So when I hit the ground, my body had compressed and my kidney had burst inside me. So I underwent 8 operations and I lost 70% of my kidney. and the doctor said it was a miracle. Looking back now, I can see the Lord's hand was upon me even then. And I suppose I should be grateful because that's where I met my wife. But I'm sure there's probably something ethically wrong about that. 7 months later, after a whirlwind romance, I asked Ashley to be my wife. And we are now married almost 9 years, and the Lord has blessed us with 3 beautiful, healthy children, Jacob, Emmy, and Charlie. But to go back to the early years of our marriage, we had good jobs, beautiful car, beautiful home, good health, 2 young children, but I felt a void was really starting to be inside me. And I was trying to fill it with all these different things like cars, houses. And I suppose I was still going out, I was still wanting to be with my friends, I was still drinking, and I wasn't stepping up to the mark to be a father that I should. At this point in my life, I was going to nightclubs. I didn't have any time for God, and that's where the drugs started. And for me, that was cocaine. And that started just a night out here, a night out there, but that ramped up over the years. And my life became out of control. My marital relationship was at breaking point. I was spending my wages on drugs, and subsequently, unknown to anyone else, my life was completely out of control and broken. My life was full of lies, and I didn't know where to turn, and I was at rock bottom. And I came to a point where I had to come clean. I came to a point one night where I was sitting in the house, and my wife was out, and I had a bag of drugs. And this is where I was in my life. I thought it would be easier to go out into the back of the van, pour a glass of weed killer and drink it, and end my own life, rather than tell my wife what was going on and what was really going on in my life. But I decided not to, and I waited, and I heard the keys going into the door, and I just left the stuff sitting on the kitchen table, and I said, I've had enough. I can't do it. And I had been trying to cut down, but it had ramped up to that I was using every day, and I was just addicted, and there's no, that was the first thing I thought about in the morning and the last thing I thought about at night. And that brings us to Romans chapter 6 verse 23, if you want to look it up. So it's Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the keys went into the door and the wife came in and I came clean to her. And the utter shock and devastation and the look on her face. Within 15 to 20 minutes, my mother and father then arrived at the house. I was still in a state, but I can definitely remember the look of sheer disappointment, worry, fear in my mother's eyes, which I never want to see again. Ashley didn't want me in the house, which was rightly so. I had been torturing the girl, and I had to leave with my mum and dad that night and had to go back to their house to stay in a broken state, didn't know what I wanted, didn't know what I wanted to do. I just was broken. A week had passed, and we had been living at my mum and dad's house, and they were trying to look up places where I could go to get help. But really, in Northern Ireland, there's no real addiction centres, no real help. And from a medical point of view, somebody with addiction doesn't have a very good successful rate. But we found this place down south, Smormore Castle. It's a private addiction centre in Ireland. And I can remember the journey down with my father. And that's where I would spend the next 8 weeks of my life. On arrival, I was searched for drugs, took to a room. All personal items were removed, razor blades, everything, and left in a room. There was no TVs. There was no phone calls. You were allowed one a day on a public phone. And you were allowed 3 meals a day, no caffeine, no nothing, and 3 meals. My days consisted of therapy sessions with various doctors, therapists, and was introduced to the 12 steps program. I can clearly remember those classes being told I was an addict and that I had a disease, and that would be me forever, and that I would have to attend, for the first year anyway, 5 classes a week. Then maybe after 2 years I could come down to 3 classes, maybe then down to 2, depending on how my recovery was going. Unknown to me, when we were unpacking my bag, my mum, I was staying in my old room in the house, and my Bible was sitting on the side of the bed. I must have been out of the room, and my mum had sent my Bible into the bag. And I had a few different autobiographies, rugby ones, with me, and the woman took them off me, and she pulled out the Bible, and she said, "You can keep that one." So I took it off her, and still at this stage, I thought, "Well, that's no use to me," and I set it on the side of the bed. But going through the sessions with these people, there's something came over me. This 12 steps program that they use to get people clean and sober is all about having a higher power. And automatically I thought, these people were saying it can be a dead person, it can be this, it can be something. And I thought to myself, the old, back to the Sunday school and hearing the gospel, I thought, no, there is a higher power and I know what it is. So that night, back into the room, lights off at 8:30, but before then, I pulled the Bible out of the top drawer. Didn't even know where to start. I was completely broken. But if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23. So Matthew chapter 4, verses 23-24. And I started, just opened the, I don't know why, but I opened my Bible at Matthew and thought, I'll start here. And it wasn't long before I came to this verse. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those had the palsy, and he healed them. Now for me, during the day I'm being told that I have a disease, and at night time I'm being told that Jesus heals all manner of diseases. So there the heartstrings were starting to be pulled for me. And every night that I went up, I read more and I read more, until one night I came to Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." And I will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." And the tears, like now, started to roll down my face, and I hit my Bible. And I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, save me. I'm a filthy sinner, but Lord, save me and help me, for I am lost and I am broken." So I stood up, got into bed, and woke up the next morning. And I didn't have one urge. I didn't feel anything, but I knew I was changed. And I just had a way about me. I had a smile on my face. And to tell you the truth, I didn't need to do it another week or two. I had a glow inside me. It was a burden that had been lifted, and I had been given rest. So the void had been filled, and I was just telling everybody that was in there and trying to show them. And I ended up, the 4 boys that were in my room, they had different addictions, and I tried to tell them and was trying to show them different things, and we had great times, and they had plenty of questions for me, but I suppose at that stage I didn't have many answers because I was just a babe in Christ. But I tried my best anyway. But definitely through the Lord's grace and mercy, I was forgiven. As far as east is from west, your sins are forgiven in his sea of forgetfulness. And they tried to tell me, oh, you'll carry shame, you'll carry that. But it was gone, and I was happy, and I have hope. So coming home, so we'll turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, chapter 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's how I felt. I had a real smile and a real skip in my step, and I couldn't wait to get home. But the reality is, my wife was not saved, and I had tortured this girl for the last couple of years. And I'm sure she thought, well, I did have a conversation with her years on, and she said to me, William, I thought I had made the biggest mistake of my life and married someone and that had turned into a complete monster. So that's what she had thought of me. And I was going home, and I didn't know whether she was going to take me back home, I was going to get to see the kids, or she would divorce me. I just didn't know. I had just put it into the Lord's hands. So coming home, I seen Ashley. She came to my mum and dad's, but she didn't bring the kids. And I wanted to go and see them, and I said, could I come over? She says, I don't know if I'm ready for you to come over yet, William. But she did let me, and I ended up going home. And we started to build trust. I started going to Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church again, and I was made to feel very, very welcome, and started to get into a bit of outreach with Phil Harton and a bit of work that he was doing down in Dublin with addicts and Chris Killen as well. A brilliant time. And I suppose I was building my relationship with my wife. And then we started to... the children started to go to Sunday school then, and a bit of time went past, and every Sunday morning I would get up and get ready to go to church, and I would say to her, you know, do you want to come with me? Oh, not today. But as the time went on, we were getting up in the morning, and she would have been getting the kids ready for Sunday school, and then she would have been getting ready for church herself, and I thought, there's a bit of a change here. I'm not having to say anything, and she's willing to go. And a few months later, we were in church and we were singing a hymn, and I turned and just looked at her, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks, and I thought, that's strange. So after the service, I got into the Jeep and I said, is everything okay with you? And she says, not really. She says, I woke up after a night shift about 2 weeks ago, and I felt, where would my soul go if I died? And I said, why did you never tell me? I think you're under conviction. I know you're under conviction. And she says, William, even the hymns today were speaking to my heart. And I said, well, what are you trying to tell me? She says, I said, are you trying to tell me something? And she says, William, I've got saved. So there's a woman who I worried about going home, but I left it with the Lord. And within a couple of months, my wife was gloriously saved as well. So over the last 2 years, being a Christian isn't easy. It's not something that comes natural to us. We have to be deep in prayer. We have to be reading our Bibles. Our family business had a fire. We had a fire at Asheville. We had the death of my Nanny Williamson and my Uncle Michael in a short space of time. However, the Lord has been by my side, giving me strength and answering prayer. Nanny and Michael being saved in heaven gives us great hope. And seeing such a change in my Uncle Michael's life at the end. My Uncle Michael knew the way and what way he should be living, but always would have been a bit rebellious. And my granddad had been praying for years and years that he would get saved and come back to the Lord, that he would be restored. And in Michael's last days, he did get restored, and it was great to see him before his death, battling cancer, sitting on his steps, witnessing to his family. It was such a great thing to see. I have recently got involved in the youth fellowship, and it's been a real encouraging and blessing to speak to the youth and speak to young people about the pitfalls of this world that we're living in at the minute, with drink and drugs so widely available in our streets. And I suppose that's really my story, my testimony, and it's all by the grace of God. I couldn't do any of this by myself. And if there's someone here tonight, my prayer would be, if you're carrying a burden and it's heavy, give it to the Lord, and he will give you rest like he has given me rest. Or maybe you're already a believer here tonight and your heart's waxed cold and the devil has bound you in sin. Maybe it's adultery, maybe it's something else. Maybe you have something in your heart tonight that needs to be sorted out with the Lord. And my prayer would be tonight that you would cry on to the Lord, that you would seek forgiveness, and that he would restore the joy of salvation to your heart as well. The Lord has done wondrous things in my life, and I give all the praise to him. And without him, I know that I wouldn't be here. And I was given the opportunity to lead my little 7-year-old son to the Lord in his bedroom only a year ago. And that has been a really blessing to me. And I suppose that's household salvation, and that's something that I have been on my knees praying for. And the Lord has met me at my need at every stage. Thank you very much for having me tonight. It's been a blessing speaking to you.
William, thank you very much for being with us tonight and sharing with us your testimony and what the Lord has done in your life. And it is remarkable of the change that the Lord makes. And when the Lord steps into a life, the Lord changes a life. And the Lord changes a life so that others would see. And surely we cannot but see the change that Christ has made in William's life. And we're thankful. William was baptized. When there's a group of us from here were baptized back 18 months or so ago. And what a change. And we pray the Lord will continue to bless him and his wife and family. What a wonderful thing it is to know household salvation. I pray the Lord will continue to bless you. William, thank you for being with us tonight. We've certainly been encouraged to pray on, because there are those here tonight who have wayward sons and wayward daughters. And you would love to see them saved. You've family members who are out of Christ, and they're rebellious, they're far from God, they've no time for the Lord. Well, take heart tonight in William Heron's testimony, because what the Lord did for William, the Lord can do for your family members. If you've someone tonight you've been praying for, keep on praying. Don't give up. Keep on believing. Keep on believing, because the Lord is able to save the vilest of sinners and make them into the greatest of trophies. I want to leave with you just one verse of scripture before we bring our meeting to an end tonight. Well-known verse in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, in the verse 36. It asks the question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want you to see here that this verse speaks, first of all, about an awesome treasure. Lose his own soul. You see, tonight, you have a treasure that this world cannot take away from you. And that treasure tonight is your soul. You might not think very much of yourself tonight, or you might not think very much of who you are or what you are, but in the sight of God, you are precious and you are special, because he gave to all mankind a living soul. This is something tonight that we will always have in this life and in the life yet to be lived. Greater than riches, greater than treasure of this world, your soul is of the greatest of value. Your soul is the greatest asset that you will ever have. Whatever money you have or don't have in a bank account, whatever savings you have or don't have, whatever property you have or don't have, there is nothing tonight that compares to the value of your own soul. How do I know that your soul is valuable? How do I know tonight that your soul is an awesome treasure? I know tonight that it is such a treasure because God gave His Son, His only Son, to die on a cross to save your soul from sin. We've already heard tonight how that we're all born in sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin entered into this world way back in the Garden of Eden. Death came by sin. And that soul that we have, that awesome treasure that we have, is stained, it's marred, it's depraved by sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ counted your soul of such value and of such worth that He sent His Son into this world to save your soul, your own soul from sin. That's how much tonight He values your soul. He gave His life that your soul might be saved. And yet tonight, sadly, perhaps in this meeting, but certainly around this community and around this neighborhood, there are those who are selling their souls to the devil. There are those who are wasting their lives, living for the world, living for themselves, living for the things of time and sense, things that have no value in the sight of God. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you living just for the things of this world? Living just for yourself? Oh, you may not have gone into the depths of sin that William went into. You may not have gone as far as William went. You may not have gone to the depths that William went to, but you still have a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that is stained by sin. And the Lord loved that soul so much that He gave His life, He shed His blood, that your soul might be saved, your own soul. Do you see tonight how valuable, how much of a treasure your soul is in the sight of a holy God? He loved you, died on the cross to save you from your sin. It's an awesome treasure spoken of here in this verse. But I want you to see as well, there is an avoidable tragedy spoken of here in this verse. Because at the end of verse 36, it talks about losing your own soul. Now, we can't lose our soul in the sense that it becomes no longer a part of us. That soul will always be a part of us. Whenever our bodies are laid in the grave in Mother Earth, we will still have a soul that will live on for all eternity in God's eternity. But here's the tragedy, is that if you die as you are, go out to meet God still in your sin, you lose your soul, and your soul, because of sin, is condemned and damned in hell for all eternity. That soul that was so precious, that soul that has so much value and worth, you were prepared to give it to the world, prepared to live for the world and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, reject His way of salvation, and let your soul be lost in hell. It's a tragedy. But what a tragedy it is tonight when we think that loss is an unchangeable loss. It's an irretrievable loss, because in hell tonight there are no second chances. You die as you are this evening. You go out to meet God as you are. You go to a lost eternity. You lose your soul in hell. There are no second chances. There's no way out. There are no emergency exits there. There's no pleading for God's grace or God's mercy. There's no pleading for leniency there. But for all eternity, your soul will be lost there. What a tragedy. Oh, what a tragedy it would be for someone in this meeting tonight. Someone who, like William, knows the gospel, has heard the gospel, sat under the preaching of the gospel. You know the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save you from sin. You know all of that. And yet what a tragedy it would be if tonight you were to lose your soul in hell. You say, I have no desire or no plans to go there. If you're here without the Savior tonight, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, that's where you're going. That's where you're headed. That's your destination. That's all that you have to look forward to. What a tragedy to lose your soul in a lost eternity. Because it is a loss that you can do nothing to overturn or nothing to overcome. But it is an avoidable tragedy. Because tonight, if you were to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you were to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save your soul. You turn from your sin, you repent of your sin, you turn to Him, He will save your soul. He will give you a new life, a real life, a true life, a life that we've already heard and seen about in William. You see, tonight there are many. Many think they've got life. Many think they're living the best life that there is to live. And you know, folks, tonight the reality is that if you're in this meeting unsaved, this is your best life. Because the life in a lost eternity is beyond compare. The tragedy, loss, but it is avoidable tonight. Because if you will come to Jesus Christ and you will trust Him and Him alone for salvation, He'll save you. He'll turn your life around. He'll give you a new life, a life with purpose, a life with meaning. Did He not say, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly? He came tonight to save your soul. He tonight in this meeting desires to save your soul and to transform you and to turn your life around. Whatever you do tonight, as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, whatever you do tonight, don't lose your soul in a lost eternity. What a tragedy it would be. Oh, realize tonight that there is an awesome treasure. Your own soul. Your own soul. You were made in the image of God. Made by Him. Created by Him and for Him. And yet tonight perhaps you're living in rebellion to Him. Oh, that tonight you would come no longer rebel, but now receive Him. As we bring this family service to a conclusion tonight, I wonder, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul tonight? How do you stand before God? As the Lord looks into your heart, looks into your life tonight, how do you stand before Him? It doesn't matter what others think about you. Doesn't what others might know about you. What does the Lord know about you tonight? Are you saved? Are you ready? It's the most important thing. It's the only thing that matters, folks. And it comes our time to pass from this world to the scene of time. There's only one thing you'll take with you into eternity, and that's your soul. You'll not take any of your money. You'll not take any of your property. You'll not take anything of this world at all. The only thing you will take with you is your soul. Therefore, where will your soul be 5 minutes after you die? You say, tonight I have no intention of dying. No, nobody has. But the statistics are so very, very stark that one in every one dies. But the good news of the gospel tonight is that if you were to receive Jesus Christ, he'll give you a life worth living here, but a hope beyond the grave. A joy and a satisfaction here in this life, and you've seen that in William tonight. But more than that, he'll give you a hope for heaven. A joy that it's well with your soul, that you'll be with him for all eternity. And you'll sing the praises of Christ for all eternity. And compare that to the agonies, the terrors of hell. What's it going to be? What's it going to be tonight? You have a choice to make, as the fellows were singing. You have a decision to make. Are you going to decide for Christ tonight? Or are you going to decide, no, another time, no, not for me? Listen to the words of our text. What shall it profit a man if he gain this whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, tonight, heed the warning of Scripture. Don't lose your soul. But rather come to Jesus Christ, who is willing, who is able to save your soul. Come to the cross tonight. That's where burdens of sin are lifted and rolled away. That's where your debt of sin is paid, cancelled out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that tonight you would be wise. Oh, that tonight you would prepare to meet God. That tonight you would be saved. Have you not seen testimony of the saving grace of God in a life in William? Would you not want that? Rather than all the troubles and difficulties that this whole world brings, and just because you're saved doesn't mean there's not going to be any troubles or difficulties, but as we were thinking this morning, through every trouble, you'll have a peace, you'll have a contentment, because you'll have a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Would you not rather have that tonight? Do not give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer.